So we've talked about wartime. Let's move through to, say, the 1950s and the 1960s, where I'm guessing you would have been sort of a teenager and into your 20s and grown up, really. So,
well, I was 15.
Right.
In 1950.
Okay.
I left school after Easter, and immediately after Easter, I started work.
Okay. What did you start work as?
Much to my father's disappointment, he wanted me to be a secretary of some sort somewhere, so I had to learn, and I couldn't learn, typing and the other bits. I didn't want to learn. I told him I wanted to go to Silo's. Silo's was a film factory.
Okay.
I don't know how I got to know about it, but it was in Worley and in Woodman Road. It's a big factory, and one half of it was the roll film. That speaks for itself, because they did the films that went in the cameras. We were the elite, the other end.
Oh, yeah. What were you
We were in the flat film. And it's all, you know, you're working with film in the dark.
Okay.
Well, when I first started, I went into the portrait room, where I met my friend Ivy. She was the first one to ask me if I knew where, what the procedure was at lunchtime and all the rest of it. And she said, follow me and I'll show you the ropes. Okay. So that was all right. Well, I was actually doing the worst possible thing I could do. And that's writing down what the different people in there had examined, what size film they'd examined. It's difficult to tell anybody who hasn't seen it, but
right.
It was like in front of you had an eight inch, don't think it was any bigger than 8 inch square, with a pinkish light behind it.
Right.
Because the portrait room, they dealt with different sort of film and different sort of colouring. And they coated all the film in this factory, and we had to look, or the others had to look for flaws.
Okay, yeah.
So any size they had to pass it across the front of the screen in front of them and then look at the surface of it.
And you're doing this in the pitch black, are you?
Well, once you get used to it, it's not too bad. You can see that there are other bodies in there.
Right.
It's a bit like I am now, where I've lost most of my eyesight.
Right.
You know, you couldn't really differentiate too easily, although it was a lot easier than it would be now.
Okay.
But I was writing down what they did. Well, my writing was the worst thing that they could have given me to do, because even my school records said good work spoilt by bad handwriting.
Don't worry, I've got a few comments like that on my school reports. Yeah,
well, I always had it, but I think it was a total different a disappointment to Miss Willett, because she wanted it to be right. It still isn't right. And now, of course, it's even harder to write. But so I was in there for a little while, and then they moved me to the dental room, where there were machines to work. It would be very difficult to try and explain how it worked.
Okay.
Because I'd get totally tripped up with my tongue with that.
Not to worry, but what was the dental room then? What was that about?
We made the packs that the dentist shove in your chops.
Oh, okay.
To
do an x-ray.
X-ray your teeth.
Okay,
it's got all it. All x-ray material, right. Sort of thing.
So that was work. What about home life at that time?
Well, we had Mum not particularly well. Mm. The daft part about it is she had heart problems right from the time she had Malcolm, which was in 1944.
Mm.
And when she died at 95.
Oh, goodness me. Right. So
she was alive, but she wasn't living the last few years of her life. Not to my life.
Okay.
But it was one of those things. But, you know, it was nice in the dental room. and I met somebody who actually ended up being a friend after she'd left and had a baby, and I found out that I was going out with her cousin.
Oh, okay, right.
And she was the best thing that could have happened to me. Gleb was absolutely absolutely dream to be with.
Ah, lovely, yeah.
She was a friend as. She always greeted everybody who came in, and this past year she would have been 100, only she died the year before, unfortunately.
I know, I'm sorry to hear that. Yeah, so now at some point in this period, you met a man and got married. How did that happen?
Very romantic, actually.
Oh.
Well, I wasn't expecting it. I used a cycle to work, and Jim used to be on a motorbike,
right.
And he lived in Billericay. So, of course, it was further for him to go. And very often he passed me on the way going to work, and he often passed me on the way coming back from work.
Right.
I always knew it was him, but one day he more or less followed me until I turned off, and then he went. I don't know whether he was going to talk to me then or not, but a few days later, as we came down Priest Lane, he passed me and he turned into Woodway, which is the turning I have to go to Gordon Road.
Right.
And when I turned into Woodway, there he was standing with his bike. And I think the only thing that made him stop was that I didn't have bad ankles in those days, and I didn't wear trousers all the time.
Saucy.
So we were talking and he asked me if I'd got a boyfriend, but I said no. I had up until about 2 months before,
right.
But I gave up on him because he lived too far away.
Okay.
So he said, do you fancy going out with me? Well, I was 22 at the time. So I thought, well, nobody else has asked me. So I said, yes, when do you suggest? He said, what about tonight?
Yeah.
You know, and it ended up, he came back that evening and we went to the Eagle and Child in Shenfield.
Okay.
And when we walked in the door, he said, will you hang on here a minute? There's somebody over there I've got to speak to.
Okay, right.
When he came back, this is bear in mind, this is our first
date
we had.
Yeah.
When he came back, he said, that is my brother-in-law and his brother, of all people to be there. He said, I've had to tell him not to tell Wynne, his wife, Jim's sister, that he was going out with, or you've seen with me.
Okay.
Simply because it was our first date and he didn't know whether it was going anywhere,
yeah, okay.
You know.
Yeah.
So, anyway, Jack was a lovely bloke, actually, so he didn't tell Wynne, because right. Wynne would have broadcast it all over the place.
Oh, you didn't need the internet in those days then. So,
no. Oh, no. No. And she worked on the telephone exchange in Brentwood.
All of Brentwood would have known.
Yeah. So
romance blossomed and eventually you got married.
Yeah, we were married about 11 months later.
Okay.
Well, it was his suggestion.
Right.
Going home one day in September, he said, I think it's time we got married, don't you?
Okay.
Well, my idea was that there was no chance of any hanky-panky with us in those days. His mother was always home of a night, and my mum and the kids were always in mine, you know, and that would be frowned upon. Anything hand-holding or anything.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah.
We sorted out and got the date for, well, I tried to get all the different ones we needed. I upset one of his aunts because I asked the uncle to come and not I was only told the uncle's name. I didn't know there was an aunt as well, but of course they both came.
Yeah.
Lots of sorting out beforehand. My mother made the bridesmaids' dresses, and she went everywhere looking with me for a dress for me. Mm. And we got one in the end.
I suppose this was the late 50s, was it?
58.
How easy was it to get hold of stuff for things like wedding dresses and all that? Had the sort of effect of the war gone away a bit?
Well, it was more a case of what could be afforded.
Okay,
but,
yeah.
I mean, they were nothing like the price they are now.
No.
And I think mine was lovely, although... Yeah. The silver stripes in, I wished had been gold, because gold is my favourite colour. So
okay.
We got along all right. As I said, when we got married, we lived with my mother-in-law. We rather forced the issue, really, because one night when I was round at his house for the evening, it was planned, obviously. Mm. I said to him, we've got to sort out which one we're going to see first, whether we're going to see Dorry with the flat and see what space she's got for, you know, for us two to move in, or are we going to Taffy, who was one of his mates? He was the electrician at work.
Right.
He'd got five children, I think.
Oh, wow.
And his wife, obviously. Oh, I don't know what size house they have. I'd never been there. I don't know whether Jim had, but anyway, it was went all right. You know, I was talking to Jim, not to his mum.
Yeah.
I went off upstairs, and she wanted to know what it was all about. And he said, "Well, we've got to find somewhere to live when we're married, and you don't want another son staying here with you. You know, so we've got to find somewhere."
Yeah.
And she, of course, she knew Taffy. And she said, "Well, I'm not having you go and stop with Taffy and all those children. What happens if you start off with them yourself?" So, and she said, "I don't know anything about the woman, but if she's in a flat, there won't be a lot of room. So I suppose you'd better come here."
Yeah, so the ruse worked then.
It worked.
Yeah, well done.
But we got on.
Yeah, good.
Her and I got on.
Good.
And she did most of the work.
Right.
Well, I was out at work anyway, but right. Till I had my son. I had him 5 years after we were married.
Right.
And we'd had a bit of a time of it, and I came indoors with him for the first time to my mother-in-law's. And she said, "Let's hope nothing happens to this one." And I said, "Nothing can happen to him.
Right.
My mum's first and your seventh grandchild."
Right.
So,
where
it came from, I don't know. I hadn't even thought about it in those terms. But
So we're now in the early 1960s, I would say. Yeah,
63.
Okay, yeah. And Christmases again. What was Christmas like in the 60s for you?
I got a tree that I love. I've still got it, but it's one that comes apart, and it's the stem and the base is separated from the branches, and I can't get it together.
Oh dear.
I've got to get into a built-in wardrobe, which in the past was very easy, but not so easy now, because I've got a five-drawer chest of drawers in front of it with a load of stuff
on. Oh dear. And you can't see what you're doing either, can you?
So, no, yeah. No. So...
Well, you'd had a son and daughter by the early to mid-60s, I think?
Yeah, 66 my daughter was born.
Right, yeah. So Christmases with the children then, what do you remember about that? Had things moved on a bit since wartime with presents and food and all that?
Yes, I mean, when Alison was born, that was in 66, we were very lucky because we got the house we live in. I still live in.
Hmm.
and it was a three-bedroomed house, straight off. I wasn't expecting that.
Mm.
I went up and told them about having had another child. From that, she was saying, you picked the right time because we've taken all the prefabs out from the main road, right, and we've built a new three or four bedroom estate down there.
Yeah.
And without blinking, I just said, oh, that's fine, I'll have one of those. And oh, the poor woman, she didn't know where to look. I mean, I didn't mean it, because I know that there are so many people wanting to get into these houses.
Right.
She said she was awfully sorry, but they'd got all the ones in flats to give them to first. And I said, don't worry, I was only joking.
Right.
And I think that could have helped, actually, okay, because we did get
you
one.
You got one. Excellent. Yeah.
And this was built on the same site as one of the prefabs. And that particular prefab used to be Jim's brother's home.
Okay. So. Must have been a great feeling walking into your own home and shutting the door behind you.
It was lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I can remember walking in for the first time. I brought Alison in the pram, and I think Paul was probably sitting on the end of the pram. And it was a long old push up the path, but... Yeah. Went through and in through the what they classed as a shed then,
right,
the side door. The floor in the kitchen was absolute, well, everywhere was pristine, but this was a black floor with all different colours, tiny colours
speckles,
over that,
yeah,
that shone.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to walk on it. No. And now I got the key at the beginning of the month, but yeah, we didn't move in until the 28th of May, which is pretty quick after Alison's birth in February.
Okay, yeah.
I had a lot of stuff, which Jim didn't actually approve of at the time, but he did tell me it was good that I kept doing it. I kept getting things that I wanted, mm-hmm, or knew we would want in a house,
mm,
that would get pushed back. You wouldn't be able to always get what you wanted at the right time.
Right.
Fortunately, my mother-in-law had two big cupboards, one in the kitchen and one in the sitting room, which met with a wall, but they had a lot of room behind the stairs.
Right.
And I used to keep the stuff in there. I got the bottom of the pram loaded with different bits and pieces, and two children in the pram, or one walking by the side of it, and keep bringing bits and pieces down. Mind you, the first thing I brought down was a kettle and tea bags and some dried milk, so that I didn't have to worry about wanting a drink.
What about Christmases generally around that time? What do you remember about them? You didn't have to go out the garden and grab a rabbit, did you?
No, that didn't happen.
No. So you had a shop-bought turkey or something, did you?
No, I didn't ever buy turkey. Okay. I always bought chicken.
Okay, yeah.
Chicken and... usually a big lump of lamb or beef. Well, more likely to be beef, chicken and beef. Just went, sort of had a good Christmas dinner. I think we invariably had it just the four of us.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy's mother used to go to her twin sister.
Mm-hmm.
So, she was happy enough to do that. One night, one week, I think I'd started work again by then. I was all behind with doing up the kids' presents. And I was sitting on my bedroom floor at 2 o'clock in the morning, finishing off the last one. 2 o'clock in the morning rings some nasty bells for me.
Yeah, I've done some of that in my time, for the children, after they've gone to bed. And
you can't do it when they're about. No. You can't tell them to keep out of the way and while I went upstairs.
So yeah.
Bound to want something.
Okay.
But
Well, that's lovely. I think we ought to have some more music, don't you? Can you?
Well, I think it's probably easier to get the have the music than.
You're doing very well. So.
White Christmas, Bing Crosby.
It's an absolute classic. And you know, for many years, that was the top-selling song in the entire world. I think it's been overtaken now, but let's hear it.
Right, okie doke.
Of a white Christmas.